While traveling, the Prachetas happened to see a great reservoir of water which seemed almost as big as the ocean. The water of this lake was so calm and quiet that it seemed like the mind of a great soul, and its inhabitants, the aquatics, appeared very peaceful and happy to be under the protection of such a watery reservoir. This is Manasarova, the lake near the Kailash mountain. I was many years ago going into this water and taking a sacred bath. It was very, very wonderful, and I still have water from that sacred bath I took in a bottle. I still have it. Purport. The word Sasamutra means near the sea. The reservoir of water was like a bay, for it was not very far from the sea. What? The word Upa, meaning more or less, is used in many ways, as in the word Upapati, which indicates a husband, more or less. That is to say, a lover who is acting like a husband. Upa also means greater, smaller, or nearer. Considering all this, these points, the reservoir of water which was seen by the Pracheta while they were traveling was actually a large bay or lake. And unlike the sea or ocean, which has turbulent waves, this reservoir was very calm and quiet. Indeed, the water was so clear that it seemed like the mind of some great soul. There may be many great souls, jnanis, yogis, and bhaktas, or pure devotees. They are all called great souls, but they are very rarely found. One can find many great souls amongst yogis and jnanis, but a truly great soul, a pure devotee, or pure devotees, who is fully surrendered to the Lord, is very rarely found. A devotee's mind is always calm, quiet, and desireless, because he is always anyabilashita shunyam, having no desire other than to serve Krishna as his personal servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover. And due to his association with Krishna, a devotee is always very calm and cool. It is also significant that within that reservoir, all the aquatics were also very calm and quiet. Because the disciples of a devotee have taken shelter of a great soul, they become very calm and quiet and are not agitated by the waves of the material world. This material world is often described as an ocean of nashans. In such an ocean, everything is agitated. The mind of a great devotee is also like an ocean or a very large lake, but there is no agitation. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavyasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. Those who are fixed in the service of the Lord are not agitated by anything. It is also stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yasmin stito na dukena guruna pi vichalyate. Even if he suffers some reverses in life, a devotee is never agitated. Therefore, whoever takes shelter of a great soul or a great devotee becomes pacified. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated, Krishna bhakta nishkama atayev eva shanta. A devotee of Lord Krishna is always peaceful because he has no desire, whereas the yogis, karmis, and jnanis have so many desires to fulfill. One may argue that the devotees have desires, for they wish to go home back to Godhead. But such a desire does not agitate the mind. Although he wishes to go back to Godhead, a devotee is satisfied in any condition of life. Consequently, the word Mahan Manaha is used in this verse to indicate that the reservoir of water was as calm and quiet as the mind of a great devotee. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pajanine Nivishesham Nunyavani Nasyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Nasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna
Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada says, from this description it appears that the Prachetas reached Shiva Loka, which is supposed to be situated near the Himalaya mountains. In other words, yes, this lake, which is described here, is the legendary Manasarova, which is near the Himalayan mountains, near Shiva Loka. Everything is there. There's the Mount Kailash, Shiva Loka, and maybe a few hours drive by jeep, this Manasarova lake, where Lord Shiva appeared to the Prachetas. The Prachetas had gone there to meditate, and they saw actually the Lord Shiva at such a time. It's a very nice description that follows, and it's very interesting how Prabhupada uses this description of this very peaceful lake to describe the peaceful mind of a devotee. When is the mind peaceful? The mind is peaceful at the time when there are no desires which agitate the mind. Prabhupada says, yes, there are desires in the mind of a devotee, but they are so spiritual that they do not agitate the mind. You can see if you have an agitated mind, that usually means you have many desires which are not so spiritual. But if you have spiritual desires, then the mind is not agitated. This one desire which is described here is a desire to go back to Godhead. And it's very interesting. You might say, well, this desire can agitate a devotee very much. He feels that he is not yet perfected in his life. So how can you say that this desire does not agitate the devotee? Well, if you really want to go back home, back to Godhead, you will have Krishna in your mind. And when Krishna is in your mind, then the mind cannot be agitated. It is peaceful. If Krishna is not in the mind, and you just want to passionately leave the material world, I want to get out of here, You know, then yes, you can be agitated by the desire to want to go back to Godhead. But if you really have the desire to only go there because you want to come close to Krishna, then you will not be agitated. In fact, you will be patient. You will understand, I will only go back to Godhead when I have love of Godhead, when I have love of Krishna in my heart. You will feel, I do not want to go back to Godhead before that. And you will feel just like a flower. When the flower is not yet matured or not yet blossomed, at that time the flower cannot give a nice fragrance. So in the same way, when your heart is not blossomed in love of Krishna, you cannot be pleasing to Krishna. Therefore, you wait to go back to Godhead until your heart is fully blossomed so that you can give the fragrance of love for Krishna's pleasure. It's a nice analogy that some acharyas are describing this. So this I wanted to just say, to read a little from the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is another mention of the Manasa lake, the Manasarova, in the 28th chapter, which describes to you a little bit better why a devotee who is Krishna conscious is peaceful. You must know that in your heart there are not one person. There is not one person, there are two persons. These two persons are like swans on a lake. It's you, the soul, and the super soul. In the fourth canto, chapter 28, text 54, it says, "My dear gentle friend," it's Krishna speaking, "both you and I are exactly like two swans. We live together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home." Purport. The original home of the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, both the Lord and the living entities live together very peacefully. Since the living entity remains engaged in the service of the Lord, they both share a blissful life in the spiritual world. However, when the living entity wants to enjoy himself, he falls down into the material world. Even while he is in that position, the Lord remains with him as the super soul, his intimate friend. Because of his forgetfulness, the living entity does not know that the Supreme Lord is accompanying him as the super soul. In this way, the living entity remains conditioned in each and every millennium. Although the Lord follows him as a friend, the living entity, because of forgetful material existence, does not recognize him. Namo, we said this already. So these are some nice ideas for us to think about. When we can actually concentrate on the super soul in the heart, we will become peaceful. This is something which I want to recommend you today. There's a scientific organization called the HeartMath in America. They have found out that when you are able to concentrate yourself on the heart, that you will become peaceful. I know some of you do not like yoga, but I think most of you like. There is the exercise which the HeartMath has taken from the yogis, is that there may be some thing which is troubling you, so you put it in bracket, so the mind, you put it to the side, and then you just concentrate yourself on the hearts and breathe in and breathe out into that framed picture which is troubling you. And they have found out that as a person concentrates himself or herself on the heart, he becomes measurably peaceful and relieved. And as they do this, they develop a maturity to deal with the problems of life. Now, we as devotees know that the heart is very, very important for us. It's the most important thing, because both we and the Lord live in the heart, in the space of the heart. It's the residence of the Lord. Here is where you can contact the Lord if you are doing this. And this is now used in scientific experiments. Like, people were very angry and they were emitting a lot of adrenaline, and then this exercise was done and they became very peaceful again. So we as devotees of Lord Krishna, we like to think about this space in the heart as the place where the Lord is residing. And as we think of the Lord in our heart, we like to meditate about His plan for our lives. We like to become connected with Him and do His will in this world, His mission. Two weeks from now, we all will sit together and celebrate Gaur Punim. Now we just had Nityananda Punim. Yes, it was a Punim, a full moon. And we had the Nityananda's Punim. Now we have soon the Gaur Punim. And I wanted to prepare you all a little bit for this wonderful event by giving today and tomorrow a class called The Extraordinary Spiritual Opulences of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We will be listening to this class now. There is a song about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda, which goes like this. Paru parama karuna pahundui jana nitai gaura chandra. Parama karuna pahundui jana nitai gaura chandra sabavatar Shara Shiromani Gevalananda Kanda Sabhavata Shara Shiromani Gevalananda Kanda. It means the two brothers, Nitai and Gaurachandra, are the essence of all avatars, and their process is simply ananda kanda. It's only full of bliss. You must know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will reveal himself according to how you in your own spiritual life are meditating about the Lord. There's a wonderful verse in the third canto, chapter 9, text 11, which says that the Lord reveals himself in that form in which the devotee always thinks of him. It is described that once the great saint Tukaram came to Pandurang, and he said, "My dear Lord, my heart, I'm a Ram Bhakta." He saw that deity, I'm a Ram Bhakta. And at that time, Pandurang manifested an arrow and a bow to fulfill the desire of his devotee. There are others in Vishnu Damodara Shastra, an example where there was a great devotee of Nrisimhadev. He was on a journey and came to a village where they used to worship Lord Shiva in the form of a Shiva Lingam. So somehow the chieftain of that village forced the devotee of Narsingha to perform a Shiva Puja. But he just couldn't do it. He felt, my Lord is Lord Narsinghadev. So he was doing this puja very, but inside of his mind he said, may Lord Narsinghadev accept my offering. And at that moment, the Shiva Lingam burst, and Lord Narsinghadev came out. He came out especially because this great devotee of Narsinghadev was, I mean, the village chieftain heard that he's chanting Om Narasinghaya Swaha, Om Narasinghaya Swaha, so that no one could hear it. And when he heard this, he came with his sword, willing to kill that Narasingha Bhakta. So at that moment, Lord Narasinghadev just appeared out of the lingam and finished this unruly and misbehaved Shiva Bhakta. Yes. So the Lord will always appear in that form in which the devotee sees him. There's a shloka also in Chaitanya Bhagavat which says, a devotee sees Lord Vishvambhar according to the mantra he invokes while meditating on his worshipable Lord. Lord Krishna will always reveal themselves according to the mood of his devotee. And I would like to give you an example from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's early childhood pastimes. When he was still a small child, one Brahmana came by who worshipped Shila as Lord Gopal. This was the best of Brahmanas. He would not eat anything before his Gopal had eaten. So when he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parents' house, it was late in the evening and he wanted to go to bed, but I don't know if you know, when you are hungry, you cannot sleep very nicely. And so Jagannath Mishra said, "You please offer something for your deity, then you may eat and sleep." And the Brahmana did so, but as he was offering the food to Gopal, his deity, who was there in the form of a Shila, Lord Chaitanya appeared on the altar and snatched away the offering and started to eat it. "Oh! Now this is muchi." And it was given The Brahmana said, I cannot eat, my deity also cannot eat, because the child has eaten. They tried again and again. He cooked thrice he cooked, three times. Finally, it was 12 o'clock in the night. It was as late as yesterday. And he again offered his mantras. Jagannath Mishra was before the house where little Nimai was locked. And he, Jagannath Mishra, was guarding it, that Nimai would not come out and not again go to the altar and spoil the offering. He had a stick there and he was ready to do it. But then, when the Brahmana at 12 o'clock offered his meal to Gopal, again he saw that mischievous Brahmin boy coming on the climbing on the altar and eating the food. This time he greatly lamented, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." Nimai looked at him, transformed himself into that form on which this Brahmana was meditating, Gopal, and said, "Are I cannot understand your logic. First you're calling me, and then I come, when I actually come to eat your food, you lament like an old woman. This is too much." So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had chosen to take a beautiful eight-armed form. In four arms he held a conch shell, the club, the disc, and the lotus flower. With two arms he was playing the flute and looking very charmingly at the Brahmana. And with two other arms, with one arm he held a butter pot, and with another arm he went into the butter pot and was eating the butter, because he likes butter very much. So the Brahmana saw this wonderful eight-armed form, complete with the four signs of Lord Vishnu, the flute and the butter and the butter pot, and he fainted. Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra was thinking, "I hope this time everything goes well with the offering." The Brahmana woke up again from his trance of meditation, and again he looked and he saw, "No, I didn't make a mistake. It is a Gopal." This time he saw him dark like a tamal tree, with beautiful lotus eyes, standing on the bank of the Yamuna in a forest of kadamba trees. There were unlimited gopis and gopas surrounding the Lord, offering the most beautiful prayers and playing instruments for his divine pleasure. The Brahmana again passed out, and but before he did so, Lord Chaitanya says, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen. Hare Krishna." As Nimai, he forbade him to talk about it. So when Jagannath Mishra didn't hear anything any longer, he only heard ecstatic crying from inside the altar room. So he went inside and he saw the Brahmana crying. Jagannath Mishra said, "Again you have no... Why are you crying? You must be crying because you are hungry." The Brahmana said, no, it's all right. No, tell me, why are you crying? I'm forbidden to tell. Nimai has come and stolen, and he has told you, don't talk about it. No, everything is all right. Gopal, Gopal, Gopal. And he was crying in ecstasy because he was totally overwhelmed. This Brahmana, who was the best of Brahmanas, and who moved around fully renounced, without any fixed abode, decided to stay in Navadvip. And every day he came towards Mother Sachi, and he looked at the little boy at Nimai, who had shown him that that he appears according to the mantras which the Brahmanas, which his devotees chant. This Brahmana was a devotee of Gopal, and he must have chanted the Gopal mantra. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as Gopal to him. Do you understand? According to the meditation of your, in which you chant, the Lord reveals Himself. This is maybe the essence of the book, the Gayatri book. Some of you might have looked into this book. In that book, the author, who happens to sit before you at this moment, had just one. I'm not really the author. I'm the compiler. But I had one thing in my mind. I wanted to make the point that it's very important in spiritual life to fix up your meditation, because the Lord can appear in many forms, but He will appear to you according to that meditation or fixation which you have. Like in our different stories, the last one was the Brahmana who chanted the Gopal mantra. He saw Lord Gopal coming and eating his food. It was Chaitanya, Chaitanya Gopal. Huh? You say, Gaura Mukunda, Gaura Madhava, Gaura Gopal. This was Gaura Gopal who came. Wonderful, isn't it? Gaura Gopal came. Krishna in his Gopal in his golden form, because the Brahmana had meditated. This is shows to you the extraordinary opulence of the Lord. If you want to understand this very spiritually, you should read in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.11, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.11. You should also read in the Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter text 11, and you must read also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 312, 419 and 5133. Then you have something to study in your reading time. Hare Krishna. So when Lord Chaitanya was still young, his brother Vishwarupa accepted the sannyas order. That means he left home when his parents had told him that they made plans to marry him. Vishwarupa was very beautiful and very, very dear to his parents, obviously. And he was a very good student in the scriptures. So at that time, the understanding was amongst the higher class Brahmins, if someone studies, he will develop renunciation. That was an understanding. Anyone who studies the nature of this world and who becomes a little bit educated, he will conclude this world is not for enjoying, this world is for renouncing. Yes? You can understand the difference of knowledge. Now we have also a lot of knowledge. And we have a Wissensexplosion, sagt man, an information explosion. But the result of this explosion is that people get more attached. That means, according to the Vedic standards, I hope no one will get angry, this is not real education. Is this all right, Anandini, that we... Anandini has studied in the university and we have to be extremely careful what we say. If you really have a proper approach to knowledge, you will renounce the world. If you have an improper approach to knowledge, you will try to enjoy it. Something went wrong. Damodar, when you complete the school and you want to enjoy the material world, then your schooling was not extremely successful. But if you leave the school and you want to devote your life to Krishna, then you had first-class schooling. This is a very important point, very important point. So, when Vishwarup, who had studied all these scriptures, left the world just a little bit before his marriage, and became a sannyasi, Jagannath Mishra went to Mother Sachi and said, Sachi, this is too much. If knowledge brings renunciation, then Nimai should not study knowledge. We take him out of school. We do not want to lose him also. So they took Nimai out of the school and said, no more studies for you, you can do anything you like. So he did it. He used to play all day with his friends. They took two or three blankets over their joint bodies so that they looked like bulls. And they began to fight very seriously. Have you ever seen bulls fighting very seriously with each other? You have seen Vipula? In Vrindavan, I also saw. When we went to the Govardhan Hill, I saw two bulls fighting over this big street. They were actually fighting for a lady bull. No, lady cow. And, our car had to stop and we had to wait. They were having big eyes and so on. So they were fighting all day like this. But then their play became more intense. In the morning, they used to lock the houses of the brahmanas from outside. Now, in the morning, there's a very nice Vedic system. In the morning, the brahmanas usually get up, and they go to the fields, and when there's a nice fresh breeze around, they create the human pile. Um es auf Deutsch zu sagen, die sind dann ausgetreten. Ne? So, when the doors were locked, they couldn't come out. Hare Krishna. This gets intense now. First the nature was calling, then the nature was yelling, and finally the nature was screaming. I need to go out! I need to go out! Let me go out! But they couldn't, because Nimai and his friends had locked the doors so that it was not possible. Have you done such activities also, Damodar? Not yet. Yeah, it's then all the brahmanas came and complained. I mean, your boy is playing all day, and he did this. We almost did not survive the morning. We were in such a intense agony. But Mother Sachi was firm. My boy does not go to school, otherwise he will renounce the world. Then one day, Mother Sachi saw her boy Nimai, who sat on a throne which he had made from rejected clay pots. You eat from these clay pots, and they are one-way pots. They are used and then thrown away, Tontöpfe. Nimai had taken these rejected muchi or impure pots and made a throne on which he sat. He looked as brilliant as the sun, smiling. Mother Sachi came, said, "What are you doing? You sit on a pot which is impure. You are in the first class Brahmin house. You are behaving so badly. What should you do? What should we do with you?" Lord Chaitanya had fallen into the mood of the mystic Dattatreya, and he said, "Mother, what is the difference between these pots and the other pots? These pots are the emanation of Lord Vishnu's energy. They have been used to offer foodstuffs for Lord Vishnu. How can you describe them as impure? What is anyways this business of impure and pure? It's the same material, it's the same energy." And he started to discuss this. Wonderful. And then he said at the end, "I am Vishnu. I purify everything just like the Ganga. Even if you consider this impure, because I am Vishnu, I purify it." This was really too much for a Brahmin lady. First, this talk about there is no impure and pure, and then I am Vishnu. From my foot the river Ganga emanates. I purify also the impure things. Mother Sachi was just speechless. "Who are you, my dear boy? Who are you? Are you our son?" Again, Lord Chaitanya smiled at his poor mother, whom he loved so much, and he told her, "If you don't allow me to study, how will I ever understand what is right and what is wrong, what is pure and what is impure?" By that time, all the neighboring ladies had come together, and they said, "Mother Sachi, what enemy of yours has stopped you from all good reason and has told you to not allow your son to study? What enemy of yours has used his influence over you?" So Mother Sachi just shook her head. Now was pressure from her son, pressure from the neighbors, and she said to Jagannath Mishra, "Okay, from tomorrow onwards, the boy should continue his study." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then resumed his studies And at that time, his sacred thread ceremony came. And I will end with this pastime. And it is described that when he was given by his teacher the sacred thread, Lord Ananta Shesha personally entered into the sacred thread which looped around his wonderful body. After hearing the mantra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted or manifested the form of Vamana Dev. He had a danda and a cloth bag around his shoulder, and he went out to beg for alms in the house of his devotees. When Lord Chaitanya came after his Brahmin initiation, the little brilliant boy, full of light, begging, then Mother Saraswati, Parvati, and all the other wives of the great demigods and sages descended to take a look at this beautiful Brahmana who was going through Navadvip saying, Bhikshu Dehu Dehi, Bhikshu Dehi, give me some donations. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in other words, had appeared in the form as Vamana Avatar, the dwarf incarnation, and begged and begged again and again, and his devotees again and again gave alms. The demigods were present, and they also again and again gave alms and donations. Hare Krishna. What do you think now? This is how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Haribo, some divine pastime takes place. Behind the closed curtains. This is amazing. Ach, das bist du. Ich dachte, das ist jetzt Lord Chaitanya. Nein, das ist auch. So in this way, he showed that he is Varahadev. He showed how he can appear in all the forms in which the devotees wish to worship him. And he had also appeared in the form of Dattatreya. Maybe today or tomorrow, I think tomorrow, we will hear how the Lord has taken other forms and proved Shaba Avatar Shara Shiromani, that he is the essence of all avatars. It's nice to hear, isn't it? I believe that this is necessary for us to hear so that we can develop full faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Yuga Avatar. Otherwise, our faith may be only partial. So it's very nice to meditate about the avatars of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Shabhavata. May I request you, Gaurahari, to give me a little olo. So I want to see now if you have any questions regarding this text or another text. Maybe you have questions, but you do not trust me enough. Du kannst in Deutsch sprechen. Ja, es besteht, there is a great difference between the stories which are told by devotees, where we are not always sure if these stories are maybe take, in what reality they take place. Do they, was it like this, or was it the reality of the imagination of this devotee? then it could be also the reality of the imagination, if we say it very polite. But when we hear from the Shastras, it's very important. They are not imaginative stories at all, but they actually did happen. And as we hear about them patiently and meditate about them, we will enter into the mystery of the understanding, because there is a good reason why they are in the Shastras. These Leelas of the Lord are given in the Shastras because they are of extreme benefit to us, the conditioned souls. And listening to them is something like therapeutic listening. Our attraction, which is now focused on the material energy, becomes refocused on Krishna. Many devotees are now going to Sridhar Mayapur at around this time. Take place in the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. And I really want to recommend all of you to sometimes go on the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. Next year, the Cologne Temple will go with more than 30 congregational members on the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. I will also be there, and I will take everyone to Ika Chakra Gram. Krishna, you please also all come. Vipula, you can come, and Syama Sundari can come with a little baby. Gaura, 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 Gaura. This is not an easy question, Tulsi Priya, because it requires a very... There are many aspects to this question, but I would like to make it very simple. It's a little bit connected, my answer, with what Robert says. When can we say that we are really spiritual? Hare Krishna. It's a good question, isn't it? And not just imagining something, or, like you have said, doing something whimsical. Maybe now I feel like this, and the other times I feel like that, and then the Lord has to appear according to my feelings. There's a song. I am missing you, Lulu Govinda, where are you? Please dance before my eyes, you know. And this is not a good Vaishnav conclusion, because the devotee in this song tells the Lord what he should do so that he can enjoy the form of the Lord. It will never work like this. So when I spoke about this, I didn't mean this type of whimsical spirituality, but I meant to ask the I wanted to give the point that Lord Krishna appears to a proper devotee according to his meditation, his mantras. Now, what is a proper meditation, and what are the mantras which are given according to this meditation? Well, the proper meditation is that which is given by our sampradaya, that is the line of teachings which we have received. To make it clear, we have received Krishna consciousness from the lotus lips of a pure devotee, from Srila Prabhupada, who has instructed all of us. And when Krishna sees that devotees worship him according to this instructions of his very dear devotee, Tulsi Priya, then Lord Krishna becomes very much revealed. Krishna has one weak spot and one strong spot. His strong spot is that he never will reveal himself to the non-devotees. He can never be known by them. They can do anything which they want to do. A non-devotee can never, ever know Krishna. He can even be born at the time of Krishna's appearance. He can even see Krishna with his own eyes before him. He can never know Krishna. Krishna can only be seen through the eyes of bhakti, the eyes of devotion. Only through these eyes and not other eyes can the Lord be revealed to the devotees. So these eyes of bhakti are given to us by the bhakta. How will we develop them in any other ways? It's not possible because we are removed from our original home, from Krishna's divine planet. And if there is no bhakta who comes and takes into our life to bring us this perspective and this, the eyes of bhakti, we have no chance to see. Bhakta, so whatever you do under the guidance of such a pure devotee, that will bring the Lord or make the Lord appear in your life. There is a very nice sloka celebrating Lord, celebrating the pure devotee Maharaj Ranti Deva. Have you heard about Ranti Deva? It was the king who was fasting for, I believe, a year or so. A long time. And it is said at the end of his, he was a great devotee at the end of the chapter, that all the Maharaj Ranti Deva went back to Godhead and crossed the influence of the material energy, Maya, and so did all those who followed him in his kingdom. So Krishna not only loves the pure devotee, he loves also the devotee of the devotee. Wonderful, isn't it? That's the weak spot of Krishna in Krishna's heart. Sometimes my God brothers have said, if they should stand before Yamaraj, then they would say, you have no right to take me because I'm a servant of Srila Prabhupada. Have you heard about Srila Prabhupada? Yamaraj says, yes, of course. So I'm his servant, and therefore I go where he is. I don't go where you bring me. Nice faith and nice understanding, isn't it? No right to take me. So by this connection to a devotee, we gain value. It is said, Tulsi Priya, in spiritual life, everything can be gotten by the mercy of a great personality. If we somehow can please a devotee, then Krishna becomes pleased. You are most properly connected with Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, to no? Bhakti Bhusha Maharaj. Wonderful. Kadamba Kanana Maharaj gives a very nice lecture the other day in Golok Dham, and he said that when a devotee does something which is more or less his own plan, you know, devotional service, Krishna will acknowledge and say, yes, nice, like this. But if a devotee does something which pleases a pure devotee, then Krishna's heart melts. Because he does a project which is very dear to a devotee. This was a very interesting point which I had made a few days earlier. There are three types of service. The first type of service is no service. It's just waiting for benefits to be bestowed upon you. This is many times in India we see when there's a difficult situation, then people go to pray in the temple. Oh my Lord, please help me overcome this difficult surgical operation which I'm going to undergo. That's not a service as such, but there is some type of bhakti there, some type of understanding of Krishna. So a little shadow of a service is also there. Then comes the other service, which I think many of us know very well. We do something which we like, which we think is very nice. And it's devotional service, you know. You know, we have read the scriptures and we think, I would like to do this. This is my plan. I would like to study for Krishna in the Radhesh College. Or something like that. It's certainly Krishna conscious. But only if Krishna sees that a devotee does something which pleases his devotee, then his heart melts. There's a word for this service. Svatantra tan is something. Svatantra. I have it in my notes somewhere. It's a Sanskrit word which implies that it's a very special service when you can do something under the guidance of a pure devotee. That's very nice. I remember Prabhupada, he said this once to one devotee: if you bring Queen Elizabeth to the opening of the Mayapur project, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur will come from the spiritual world and take you by the hand back home, back to God. This shows you what there must be a lot of power in Prabhupada would have been so pleased if Queen Elizabeth... Is she still living? I believe, isn't it? Yeah. Would have gone to the opening of the Mayapur festival. This would have been something which pleased Prabhupada, because Prabhupada had something with the English people, because the English people have done so much, so many bad things in India. The Prabhupada really felt if they become devotees. Like I remember when Prabhupada had looked at the newspaper, Ratha Yatra of the Hare Krishna movement rivals Nelson column. It's a big column and it's Säule, put in honor of the Admiral Nelson, who was a great fighter on the boat, on the ships. The Prabhupada felt, We are bigger than the British Empire. Wonderful. So he had something with the English people, and therefore Prabhupada said, if you bring Queen Elizabeth for the opening, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur would come from the spiritual world and take you by the hand back to Godhead. May I always see Lord? Yes, this is very wonderful. Mm-hmm. It is really the mood which is here makes all the difference when you do it in a devotional way. It's, by the way, said, I'm not at all surprised that you feel attracted to this. It's said in Western spirituality, the angels are blind. You know why? Because they always look at the Lord and they only see the Lord, and therefore they have no eyes for anything else. Wonderful, isn't it? The Lord is always in their eyes, and therefore they are blind to anything else. How nice it is said. Huh? And this actually is, I was thinking when I heard this, about the description of the great devotees of the Lord. They are similarly also blind to the material world. They don't see anything attractive in the material world. Not even football. This is a difficult statement in Germany, where they are blind for this. Because they have the... You know, there was this very great devotee, he's called Vishnuchitta. Vishnuchitta had a garden with tulsi, and he often picked tulsi leaves to use them in a garland for his beloved Lord. Now once, Deva Devi, the best of prostitutes, came by and she was with her sister. She came from the king. He looked over and there was Vishnuchitta picking leaves and flowers for his garlands. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And when she... Vishnuchitta looked at her, but she was not a flower and not a tulsi, and he did not see her beauty. She must have been extremely beautiful. This had never, ever happened once to her, Anandini, that some, when a man looked at her, that he did not look twice. That this was unknown to her. No, everything was all right. No problem. And she became so angry, she said to her sister, in 1 month I will make Vishnuchitta only look at me, not at anyone else. So she made a plan that was successful. But in the beginning, Vishnuchitta was not looking at her. So this, I think, is a very nice thing. If your eyes are full with God, Anandini, then you will not be attracted to the world, to the non-godly things of the world. And I think your prayer is very good. Very nice prayer. If you find the prayer, I would be very, very happy to also read it. If you find it ever again, maybe in, when you return from your journey, you can find it. I'm so much moved by this. The angels are blind. Do you want to hear another nice thing about from Christian thoughts about God? Even for God, there is a hell. And that is his love for the human beings, because that's the only thing which worries him. Nice, isn't it? Nice how they express. Because when you love, then pain can enter into your heart. When you don't love, you have no pain. That's why the impersonalists don't want to love. Sachidevi is noting this down, Damodha. I'm saying you are noting it down. Yeah. We are now 5 minutes before 10 o'clock. This is a very late time for someone who wants to organize a Sunday program. May I ask you, Vipula, tomorrow on Monday, what is, Can we have the class a little earlier, or is it difficult?
No.
That's normal. It's only for Sunday where we... Yeah, that is understandable. They want to rest one time a week. That's all right. Let them rest. Yeah. Das ist ja klar. Selbstverständlich. Okay. I'm thinking because tomorrow we will make eine Hauseinweihung near Munich and we have to be there in time, but if we can, so may we all become blind in that sense. Our eyes, may they become full of, or, oh, oops, already I cannot see anything. Where are you, Vipula? In the sense blind, then we only see Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandini Hari Hari Gaur.